Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down, a Monday night meltdown continues. George Kurtz will step up and in Long Island style as the New York Islanders look to extend their stay in the hub, as did the Dallas Stars. This evening, the Dallas Stars are going to be playing in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in 20 years, going back to the Brett Hull, Modano days. And, of course, they never should have won that Stanley Cup in a fashion that they did. I'm sure the Buffalo Sabre fans are going to be repulsed all week hearing about how the Dallas Stars are back in the Stanley Cup. Of course, he was in the crease. It is ironic, isn't it, though? As you know, in New York City, they were, you know, every year they clamor and they pray and they hope that the New York Knicks get the number one pick. And you look like the women's team, like the Liberty got the number one pick. The New York Rangers got the number one pick, but the Knicks can't get the pick. And you look in Dallas, you know, like the Cowboys, man, is as big as it gets. Yet, you know, the Cowboys, same old, while the Dallas Stars are the ones who step up and get it done. A little bit of irony is the Dallas Cowboys are going to be laying 5 points to the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to crunch the numbers as far as week one in the National Football League is concerned. There was a 9-4 to the over trend that developed early, but the unders came on strong and down the stretch, the unders come. We'll take a look at the numbers, the over-unders, and the numbers for week two of the National Football League, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like 9.5 points to the Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, two teams that played this evening. Pittsburgh Steelers laying 6.5 points at Heinz. Matt Patricia's sorry ass goes on the road to take on the Green Bay Packers. Jacksonville and the stash, Gardner Minshew, getting 10.5 points against the Tennessee Titans. Minnesota and Indianapolis. Interesting football game between Minnesota and Indianapolis. Loser of that game is 0-2. You know, 0-2 teams don't have a good percentage in history of making the playoffs. George Kurtz steps up for that. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
All this NFL and NHL talk, the NBA continues. Although it's going to be difficult watching Miami and Boston play. Being a Raptor fan, I'm not a fan of either Boston or Miami. If, like, basically, you know what it's like? And we all know this. Like, when your team gets bounced or you're watching, like, the playoffs, it comes down to who you have your money on. But it also comes down to who do you hate less, right? It's like one of those type of deals. Like, I don't really like either of these teams, to be honest with you. But it's not really a comparison between Miami and Boston. So I do hope that the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics. But if they don't, I won't be losing sleep over it. Although I do find it interesting, actually, that the Boston Celtics are now series favorites here. Immediately after when after Boston beat Toronto on Friday night, the early number had Miami as like a -130 favorite, and it's totally swung to the other side, which actually does surprise me. We'll get into the Clippers and the Nuggets game a little bit later on. Let's bring in Captain Cowboy right now. George Kurtz steps up and in. What's going on, Kurtz?
How you doing, Gabe?
You know what? Not bad. not bad. It could be better if your Dallas Cowboys didn't suck and they didn't get screwed. It's kind of like a little bit of A and a little bit of B. It's a combination. Like listen, they got screwed over. That was a horrible call. I don't know what it is with offensive pass interference that the NFL is like, oh, we want to call this all the time now, but that was a garbage call. But so was McCarthy's call to go for it. So was the call on fourth, on third and six to run the ball. So was the call on fourth and three to throw it 2 yards to a rookie. There were so many bad calls. So the whole thing has left a bad taste in my mouth. But as I stated earlier, at least I didn't get bit in the penis by a snake like that kid in Thailand. So it's not that bad. But other than that, I'm all right, Kurtz.
Yeah, I saw that. You tweeted that earlier today. Thank you so much for that, by the way. I almost forgotten about it. Now there's a mental image that'll be in my head all damn night.
Yeah, it was kind of it was disturbing, but it was reality. I was just trying to remind people that things can always be worse. So things can always be worse. So what was the after effect here with McCarthy and the call? I know he said he was disappointed in it, but it's just amazing to me that. Whatever, dude, like McCarthy got hired like not to be an idiot and not do stupid things that Jason Garrett used to do. And I don't know if McCarthy thought, well, my reputation is always that I'm too conservative. So, oh boy, I'll show them. But I don't know, for the love of God, I don't understand the logic of a hard fought defensive game. Like it started off offensively, but it slowed down. I don't understand how you just don't take the points and you know, you were shutting the Rams offense down. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. It's not like if you scored a touchdown, you were guaranteed to win the game anyways. There was so much time. It was just dumb. Like, and none of it made sense to me, Kurtz.
Well, I agree with you. Well, Cam and I were on in-game live last night. I said I would kick the field goal before they did what they did. I mean, it was a strange decision. Now, if you believe what we're hearing today is that Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, was told he has two plays to get the first down. That's why they ran the ball pretty much a blah run up the middle on third and six. He was told he has another play to do it, which makes some sense here because I don't think you run that play on third and six unless you know you got the fourth down play coming. I'll be honest. I mean, I would have kicked the field goal, but going for it on fourth and three didn't really disturb me. What disturbed me was, A, why is anybody running a route short of the first down marker? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you don't run that route short of the first down marker. Everybody has to be beyond the marker. Now, I know if you watch the All-22, you can see that the tight end for Dallas, Schultz, he ran his route too shallow, and CeeDee Lamb actually had to go around him You know, Schultz was probably supposed to run that right about 3 yards deeper, and CeeDee Lamb would run right there at the first down marker. But you can see CeeDee Lamb did have to run around him and never adjusted back to get above beyond that first down marker there.
What I don't understand why on such an important play, do you have a rookie and do you have Schultz like in such key components of this? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you pay Elliott for? What do you pay Dak for? What do you pay Cooper for? What do you got Gallup? Like, all these guys. So let's count on the rookie kid playing in his first game ever in the NFL to catch this ball with 7 minutes left and run the right route and go over the middle of the field. It was just, like you said, I can't live with it. Like, I think it's stupid. And I'm a pretty edgy guy when it comes to play calling and stuff. But in that situation, in that football game, you're letting your defense down, man. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are balling out there. You make it 20-20, you could win the football game after. It was short-sighted.
I would have kicked the field goal. I don't know. I doubt CeeDee Lamb was the number one target there. You know, I don't think he was. I don't think Dak was waiting for that play to develop. I just think that's what ended up happening there. He had time. I think he was looking for Cooper or Gallup more than likely. I doubt Elliott was the target either.
But does Dak ever make a play under pressure?
Settled on.
Like, you talk about it last year, like you said, I had no confidence. Like, yeah, they're going to come back. Like, no, they won't. They don't. They're front runners. Like, what's his record now against teams with a winning record? I'm not here to bash him. Like, it's not like, oh, to bash Dak thing, but because it's the whole team. I don't know if they're all the same, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, on paper, they're good. Dak Prescott's stats are good. Zeke Elliott's good. Cooper's good. But are any of these guys leaders or any, you know what I mean? Like, there's something missing here, man. And, you know, we're going to see. It's not, I guess it wasn't all just Jason Garrett's fault.
But don't you wonder about the culture? Because this keeps happening. And like you said, it's not all Garrett now. McCarthy did the same thing, had the same problems. But they can't win games. They can't win close games. They'll blow teams out. You know, maybe they'll blow out Atlanta on Sunday, but when it comes to winning close games, they don't win them. They come up small, extremely small. And we're not talking about, you know, a great Rams team here. You know, you said the Cowboys even stopped them. I think the Rams were playing not to lose. I think the Rams figured Dallas couldn't go down and score on them. That Dallas was playing so poorly in the second half. I don't think they were trying offensively. They just wanted to make sure Goff didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and you know what? The Rams had a physicality about them, as you stated. I think they, and it's a good point that they were pretty confident in the fact that Dallas was not going to be able to do anything after the fact. And listen, let's give credit to Dak, even though the play got nullified. It was a nice throw to Gallup under pressure. You know what I mean? It was a big moment. He did make the play. And it was extremely questionable. Now, we got into all the garbage play calling from Kellen Moore. But what about the penalty? Were you outraged? Or, you know, listen, by the letter of the law, I guess if you want to call it, fine. But not with a football game on the line. And it was a garbage penalty call, bro. It just was. They should have let the play stand. That game was destined to be going to overtime. That was garbage.
I think Dallas might have won the game. They were at the 15-yard line. They would have had at least three plays to throw the ball into the end zone. So I think Dallas might have won the game here. Was I outraged? I was not outraged. I think it's because, Gabe, I'm used to this. I've become numb to the Cowboys losing games like this where they just play like crap and don't come up big late in the game. As you said, it was a letter of the law penalty. Technically, yes, it was a penalty. I would have called it a penalty, a first quarter penalty. And what I mean by that is it's a penalty that a ref might call. Once again, if you want to make a statement that, hey, we're watching you out here. You know, don't do the push-off stuff. But it's not one that you call in the fourth quarter.
As you stated, game on the line. Like, let them play. Like, you know, it's funny, though, George. It's amazing. Over the last couple of weeks, the interesting different dynamic, George. And people are never happy, bro. There was a basketball call in which Jimmy Butler threw the ball right at the end of the game. He missed the shot, and somebody touched his arm, but after he shot it. And, you know, we'll hit this on the other side, but reffing has been erratic. We'll put it that way. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage late night. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down as the Dallas Stars have cashed their ticket, going to the Stanley Cup Finals to get to the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning game. We've got a couple of NBA games on tap. We're talking NFL football as the NFL is back, and Big Ben Roethlisberger is back. Three touchdown passes to Juju Smith-Schuster, catches two of them this evening. James Washington with one as well. James Conner gets injured. And that's one thing, Kurtz. I'm not shocked, actually, by the injuries. And there were quite a few injuries. But it looks like the running back position and a lot of fantasy football implications, actually. As James Conner was a guy that a lot of people were pretty high on coming into the year. But I don't want to say he's Aaron Judge, but you know, it's like, all right, is he going to be able to stay on the field? And so he gets injured. And then you see Snell steps up and in right away. If you have Jonathan Taylor on your team, you know, you never root for injury, but Marlon Mack getting hurt really shakes things up there. Lev Bell gets hurt. A lot of running back injuries.
Well, it's always the most depressing thing about Monday morning, right? When we go check the, Twitter. Your news feed is you see all the injuries that are out there, right? Mack's gone for the season. You mentioned Connor, and there were a lot of other injuries out there. And if I fantasy football fans, it's just a killer every morning. Oh, who did I lose this week? You go doom, doom, doom. Now, I wasn't big on Connor coming into the season either. I mean, you mentioned the joke about that. You don't think he's Aaron Judge? He's close to it. All right, he's missed the first three seasons of his career, 2 games, 3 games, 6 games. It's getting worse. And now he's hurt in week one. They don't think it's a severe injury. They'll find out later this week. I guess that what they're trying to say is then it's not a high ankle sprain. That maybe it's a lower ankle sprain. Michael Thomas has the high ankle sprain. That's going to hurt for a while. So I wasn't on Connor at all this year. I don't like guys. To me, Gabe, the most important ability is availability, and Connor does not have it.
Yeah. I can't disagree. While someone that does is Derrick Henry. And the Tennessee Titans survive a football game that pretty much went the way that I thought it would. And I'll tell you what, I don't bet a lot of unders, okay? And people that know me and have been watching the show a long time know I don't have a lot of success. I don't know what it is, Kurtz. I just, you know what I mean? If I bet an under, I'll lose by a point, half a point. Something weird will happen. I'm an overbetter. But this game, I just wondered. And I brought up, like, where were the points going to come from? And, you know, well, also there were, like, 18 missed field goals. Fortunately, it was a chip shot late for Gostkowski. But I don't know, man. When are people going to realize that just signing every former Patriot player, you know, doesn't make you good? Like, after the fact. But Tennessee survives. And, you know, it looked like Drew Lock was going to win another game. I mean, this kid is 4-1 as a starter in the NFL. Now 4-2. Big win for the Tennessee Titans, especially with the Indianapolis Colts losing their football game. I like this Titan football team. That was a tough, you know, it's not easy to win in Denver, even without fans. They found a way to get it done. Ugly win, but a win is a win for the Titans.
Hey, ugly wins are better than pretty losses, right? And I believe Denver has maybe the best, I think it's the best home record for openers, for season openers. So Tennessee to go in there, and I think Gostkowski missed 3 field goals and an extra point. So that's 10
and
points
the extra
left
point
on the field. Right, so that's 10 points he left out there. I mean, that's to overcome that, that's pretty good. It's a shame he kicked the game winning because there were so many good Gostkowski jokes on Twitter. I mean, Mark Schlereth, I thought, said the best one. You know, hey, if he needs a place to stay tonight, he can stay at my house. Thinking, you know, he'll be cut and won't be going home on the plane. I thought that was fantastic. It made me laugh. But he kicks the game winner, so I still think he's going to get cut this week. But still, I guess there's some redemption there for Gostkowski.
Oh. He's what a life, man. It's like week to week. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to cut him since they won. They'll do the old, they'll bring some guys in, right? They're going to bring some guys in and take a look at him. And then they'll roll him out again this week. And he better not miss this week. So as far as the Cowboys and the Falcons, what's your pick, Kurtz? Who do you like? Are you confident in laying 5 points with the Dallas Cowboys in this spot against the Falcon team that just got picked apart by Russell Wilson? But with all due respect, the Cowboys aren't the Seahawks. What do you think about this game?
Oh, I think it's going to go over. I think there'll be points put up on the board there. Dallas suffered a lot of injuries in that game last night. They don't have a tight end anymore. All right, Jarwin's gone. Schultz is no one's answer to a tight end. He's a better blocker than Jarwin, but nowhere near the receiver. Remember, they're already down. Malik Collins, they're starting right tackle. They lost to Irving yesterday, a backup offensive lineman. So their offensive line is still going to be a little weak. The Falcons don't have anybody like Aaron Donald to take advantage of it, but that will still hurt. And they lost to Van Der Esch again. Broken collarbone. He's gone until, I don't know, Thanksgiving. So that's going to hurt the defense a bit. Like I said, in my mind, Gabe, the Rams, I don't want to say they gave up, but they were playing, let's not lose the game here. Let's not turn the ball over, keep getting a first down too, then we'll just punt the ball back to Dallas, they can't score. The Falcons won't do that. They'll try and put points up on the board, and I don't know if that Dallas secondary can hold up against Ridley and Jones. That's why I think the game is going over, because I think Dakel and the Dallas Cowboys offense will play better. It's at home. They'll score points. I think the game's going over. That's about the only thing I feel confident in.
It's a high number. It's a high number. It should get there. And so what's the capacity? 25% capacity for fans, which still is quite a sizable amount.
Jerry Jones has not said what he will do. Jerry Jones has not said what he will do yet. I believe Texas says 50%, but Jerry Jones hasn't announced what he will do yet. You know, I think we were still, I know it's before week one. So a couple of days ago, and they said teams that could have fans, and Dallas is still on the question mark. So we don't know yet what they will do.
You know, they said 50%, and then it was 25%. So I don't know if I missed it going back up to 50%. Because, yeah, I don't think it's it's 50% for an NFL game just yet. People will flip out, Kurtz. You can't put 50,000 people in a stadium now.
No, he's not going to do that. I mean, What would he do? Jerry Jones is a nutcase. I mean, he would do some strange things, but I don't think he'll put anything more than 10. You know, what did KC have? Right? They what are they? 22%.
17,000.
Which came to like. So he'll do more than that.
Right.
I think he would do more than KC could do what I could do.
He's gonna do whatever he can legally do. And like I said, I believe it's 25%. So like I don't know when you said what he's gonna do about it. I mean, he's gonna do whatever he can legally do. He's all about money. But as you stated, they didn't announce. All he said is, we're going to have a great crowd, right? So I don't know. I don't know. I was wondering about it. But, you noticed the Kansas City crowd, they did have an impact a bit. They were pretty loud. It was only 17,000 people. They were pretty loud, like when Houston had the ball at times. You know, you get 25,000 people, 25,000 people in there, it can have a little bit of effect. It's definitely better than having no fans, Kurtz. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but Dallas isn't known to have great fans for home advantage, right?
No.
They're not.
No, you're right.
It's not like, oh, my God, you're going to Texas, or whatever it's called, AT&T Stadium. So I don't know if having 20,000, 25,000, whatever Jerry Jones wants to fit in there is going to be a – and I mean, it'll be a difference. It'll feel like real football. But it won't, like, unnerve the Falcons. I don't think they're going to be worried about that. These are not raucous fans. This is not Green Bay or nowhere near close to Seattle on what they get here. But I agree with you. I think Jerry Jones will fit whatever he possibly can. I'm trying to look up here what the capacity is. I did find the 50%, but that was 2 months ago. So I want to see if that has changed here.
Yeah, you're a little, yeah. It changed, Kurtz. 2 months ago. The world was like
I'm
a different place 2 months
that's
ago.
That's the thing.
Yeah. No, it was moved to 25%. And I don't know if they flirted with going back up to 50, as I stated. I was always joking that they were going to, that they would try to get 50%, that they would campaign the governor to allow 50% as opposed to the 25%. But at this point, I don't even think they would want to do that just for the bad look of it all. Just because the stadium's so big, you really want to get 48,000 people up there.
Once again, as of August 17th, there's only a couple of weeks ago now, it was still 50%.
Well, 50%, you know what? Maybe this is why he said
August 17th. So once again, we're still talking a month ago. But I can't find anything new that says that it's 25% or less than 50.
All right. Well, point is, there's going to be fans there. that's how all this came up, that there will be fans. They're laying 5 points. It's not a great NFL card next week, guys. It really isn't. You got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Browns on Thursday. The Falcons Cowboys game, the Bills and Dolphins, whatever. Panthers and Bucks, Broncos and Steelers, Lions and Packers, Jags and Titans, Rams and Eagles. Actually, that's not a bad game. It seems like now the NFL is just all they care about is the primetime stuff. You notice more and more like the afternoon slates suck, and it's just more all they care about is like Sunday Night Football. And you know, Monday Night Football kind of sucks, but I think they have a better slate this year. Saints and Raiders are the Monday Nighter next week. Patriots and Seahawks, Sunday Nighter. All right, we'll get Kurtz's Islander pick on the other side. And your rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night continues. For the record, single game tickets have gone on sale, actually, for the Dallas Cowboys, George. And as you stated, there's no official announcement on like how many exact fans are going to be at the game. And the fact that they're selling single game tickets now, and you're allowed to buy up to 6 as well, and they're selling them in pods. So this is a welcome to the future here. The Dallas Cowboys are putting remaining 2020 single game tickets on sale to the general public. Tickets will be distributed in seat blocks known as pods to maintain distance between groups who are not known to one another. So basically you're allowed to buy up to 6 tickets, but like it's only going to be like if you know the other 5 people, you know what I mean? So they're not mixing strangers up together. It's actually not a bad idea. So, yeah, seat blocks known as pods to maintain distance between groups are not known to one another. Fans are required to maintain pod integrity. Of course, Kurtz, welcome to 2020. You're not maintaining pod integrity, you must go. So you must maintain pod integrity.
They couldn't even get the coaches to wear masks yesterday.
Yeah, you know, what difference does it make if the coaches wear masks, bro? I don't want to be a jerk about this.
They're outdoors.
No, but the thing is, like, the coaches are tested every day anyways. Like, they're all tested around each other. Like, I get it. They're not in the hub. Like, in the bubble, I don't understand it. Like, dude, like, Joe Sakic was wearing a mask in the press box of Avanti Arena, George. It's like, dude, you're about 300 feet in the air. There's no one around you, let alone you're getting tested every day and you're in a hub. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's a little extreme. The NFL guys
are. Example.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, they're on TV.
Lead by example, Gabe. He's on TV, so let everybody see him wearing a mask. I mean, McVay last night had the mask,
but he never put it on. He just took it down and left it.
He got in trouble today.
And once in a while, he thought that announcement was to him. Yeah, he'd sort of fake it and put it over, and he'd take it down. Basically, everyone on the Rams staff just didn't wear the mask, as you stated. I noticed Vrabel was pretty militant about it today. He's had health issues though in the past, so I get. I don't want to mock the mask work. Although, man, that visor's a little much for Andy Reid, bro.
He's got to get rid of that. That's got to go. All right, that didn't look good at all. What I loved last night was the defensive coordinator for the Rams. He actually had the mask on, yet when he was calling the defensive plays through his little microphone there. He actually still had the play sheet in front of his mouth, so he couldn't read his lips. Buddy, you're wearing a mask. We cannot read your lips. I guess this comes second nature. I found that hilarious.
That's actually good, George. It's a good point. For any coach that is I don't really want to wear a mask on the sideline, and it's you can tell him, listen, you get to say whatever you want into the headset. No one's gonna know what you're saying anymore. They'd love it. They're gonna never want to go back. They'd be like, I should have worn a mask before. Great call. Great, you know, I should have worn a mask. Great call. So, yeah, I like this. You can buy tickets in a pod. Pod integrity. Pod.
Would you go again?
George, yes. Yes. I would not like.
I would too.
I would not like be afraid not. Like, yeah, I would go. Yeah. I'm just being real.
I wouldn't go to a full arena where I might sit next to somebody who I don't know. But I would
exactly.
Go with if I work with them, I would go.
Like, you know what's weird? I'm more comfortable going, I would be more comfortable going to this game than if you told me, in 4 months, there's going to be 100,000 people there. You know what I mean? I'd be like, nah, I don't want to be in 100,000 people. Like if you're in a stadium, George, and there's 22,000 people there, whatever, dude. It's like being in an empty stadium. Like, you're not around people. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have a big problem with that.
My kids are going to school.
I wouldn't want to be in a packed stadium.
Hockey games.
Exactly.
No,
but would you
want to
be like MetLife with 90,000 people?
No.
Like, imagine you're all crammed in the bathroom and stuff. Like, think about a sporting event, how packed it used to be in a bathroom and everyone's squished up together. It's like, you don't want that, bro. You know what I'm saying? So basically, I was thinking about this, sports fans, it's good if your team sucks. Like, if you're in bad sports cities where it's always empty. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, they never get fans at the best of times anyways. You know what I mean? You have your own bleachers, your own row and stuff like that. But no, look, I'll be honest, George. Look, I've flown numerous times during this pandemic. I take the virus. I'm not a virus mocker. Like, I believe the virus is real. I know it, you know what I mean? It's dangerous for a lot of people. But at the same point in time, I don't live in fear. Like, I don't change my life all that much, to be honest. Sometimes I even forget. I feel bad. I forget there's a virus.
I've forgotten to wear a mask in different stores where I have to go back out to my car because I don't think about wearing it all the time. My kids go to school. And my wife's a nurse, so she was against it. She'd let us know. I referee, you know that. And that's outdoors. So I'm around people. I'm not wearing a mask when I'm out when I ref. You know, the coaches do on the bench, but I generally don't. neither does anybody else, by the way, that's out on the rink. The fans do, but no one else does. So I'm trying to live it as normal, but taking as many precautions as I can. But I admittedly don't go overboard.
I don't mind wearing the mask. That's the whole thing. Like, you know what I mean? I don't wear it like when I'm walking down the street. But if I'm going in, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's different. Depends on what city. Like, when I was in San Francisco, it was mandatory. I didn't bitch. I was like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, it's more for the people in the stores and stuff, right? They're exposed to thousands of people or, like, you know, transit workers. People in the public are exposed to, like, you know, people in fast food joints and restaurants and stuff like that. So out of respect for them, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not, like, an anti-mask or anything, but... No, I thought about it. Yeah, like I would go to a game, and you know, if I had the opportunity to, you know, it'd be interesting to see when we finally do. But like you said, I would prefer it now than like in a packed arena. Like I wouldn't want to be in a packed like basketball arena, like squeezed in with 24,000 people, like or a concert. Or
I don't
something
think I'd
like
go
that.
To a packed arena until there's a vaccine. Until I know like, there's a reliable vaccine, I wouldn't go to a packed arena.
Like what about like a quarter full Yankee Stadium. Why not? Like, why not be in the upper deck, like, alone, George? Like, that's not dangerous, right? You know what I mean? Not any more dangerous than going to Walmart.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree. If you told me to be 10,000 people at Yankee Stadium, wouldn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's always dangerous in the Bronx, but, now, you know, the coronavirus is the least of your problems in the Bronx. it's the least of your problems.
My dad used to be like that. My dad would not go to my grandmother used to work at the Plaza Hotel, which is where Steinbrenner stayed back in George Steinbrenner in the day. And so we would get free tickets. And when I say free tickets, Gabe, I mean behind the Yankee dugout, maybe 7-8 rows, whenever we want.
Wow.
I had cousins of mine that went to all the playoff games in the '70s and in 81. But my father would not go because he didn't want to go. Even though he was a huge Yankee fan, he's the reason I'm a Yankee fan. But he would not go to the Bronx.
Yeah, especially the Bronx Zoo in those days. It's not that bad. I shouldn't. It can be, but you know what I mean.
It's like fine anywhere. Now. It's fine now.
Yeah, it's like anywhere. You know, you go anywhere at 4 a.m. down certain streets is a bad time. But as a whole, you're right. All right. So the Islanders are on the brink right now. What you know, this team has a ton of heart. But you know, Tampa have them on the ropes. What do you make of this game? It's -180. My gut is that Tampa finish them off. What's the feeling?
Yeah, I think the Islanders have run their course. I know Cam gets mad at me because I bet against the Islanders yesterday. I think they've run their course. They lost Casey Zizekas, and I know he's not a superstar player, but for the
Cam
Islanders,
can't let
he
stuff
is
go.
So important.
Today he told me that
he doesn't understand why when I bet
today,
against my home teams.
Today he said Vegas were going to win.
I have no
straight
problem
and come
doing
back.
That. I know. I
said they're not coming back. Like, no, the series price. I said, Cam, no, they're not. They're not. They're going to lose tonight, even. I said, they're done tonight. So I guarantee you tomorrow he's going to be on the Islanders.
It wouldn't shock me, but I just don't see it. You know, maybe if this was a regular postseason where the Islanders playing at home tomorrow, they're going to get that juice from the crowd. I can see them maybe pulling one out, but no, I think they've run their course. Tampa is the better team. You know, that's obvious to see. They don't even have their best players and they're the better team. Stamkos gone. You know, Braden Point didn't play the last half of a third period. I think he's iffy for tomorrow at best that he's going to play. They're just a better team right now. The Islanders have made some mistakes. You know, losing game two pretty was the end of the series. Not that they should have won game two. They probably should have. Certainly shouldn't have lost the way they lost when Kucherov scores at 8 seconds left. But I think that was the end of the Islanders' run right there. I don't think they have anything to apologize for. You know, good for them. I think they had a great season. I'll take it as an Islander fan. Never saw them getting this far, especially when, if not for COVID, I don't even think they would have made the playoffs. They had lost 7 straight, 11 of 12. They were a dying team. And part of that reason they were dying was Cizikas was out then,
right,
too. He is that important to the team. I think Tampa finishes him off.
And you know what? You know what's crazy, too? Dallas were in, like, a vicious free fall, too, right? Right before the pandemic. It's, like, crazy. Like, as I said, like, sports are weird. You know, I thought about this, and I went, we got a minute or two left here. But, you know, like, the basketball playoffs are going on right now. And I said after, I was like, well, all right, you know, the Raptors have been eliminated, but on to next year. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, about next season. And then it took me like about a day. It sort of kicked in and I realized there is no next season, George. Next season is in like 8 weeks, 10 weeks type thing. Like it's amazing. Like people forget this, right? Like the hub, like in the Stanley Cup, for the Stanley Cup and basketball, it's not like they're rearranging the rest of the world, guys, for the rest of eternity in their league, right? Like they got to get back to work. They can't fall behind again. It's not like it's a new deal now where they're playing every summer. So it's back. Like the NBA is basically starting Christmas Day. Like they're starting Christmas Day. And you and I talked about this. I remember during the pandemic and it came up and makes a lot of sense for the NHL to say, all right, we'll start like Christmas or New Year's, right? Or right around Christmas or even boom. Why not start with the New Year's outdoor games, right? Start with a bang.
That's what I think both sports should do. I think the NBA should definitely start their season later. Why compete with the NFL if you don't have to? And not just this year. I mean, every year. Just start it around Christmas Day. You know, I think it'd be perfect for the NBA. The NHL's problem would be, I don't think they want to start late every season. So if they start in January, New Year's Day, which once again would be perfect, go right to the New Year, the outdoor games, well, then your season's going to run until, once again, August. Maybe next season have to start late. So I think the NHL might
bullet.
Decide to go December both, 1st.
Both, yeah, I hear you saying both the NBA and the NHL, I think, next year. Because like you said, they have to get back on track, right? But how do you sort of, you got to do it gracefully and make it work is shorten season. You know what I mean? Like, all right, you know, so what are we going to go with? Like 64 games as opposed to the 82? I know the NBA was kicking that. Like I thought I heard 58 games, 60 games type thing. Not bastardized like baseball did, but just so basically we get back on track for the following year, right? I mean, like they have to get back on track, you know, as far as the natural schedule. Or, you know, I'm telling you, people are going to like the new normal. I know a lot of people do. George Kurtz, always great, George. Stay safe.
Sports Rage Late Night. Gabe.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage, late night, quickest 120 minutes in sports, rapid fire again tonight. You know what's amazing, actually, thinking about 2020 in the sports world? The NFL is on track, right? And the football is, everything is just sort of normal. But the NBA, the NHL, it's whacked out, man. Like, it's whacked out. Like, you know, like next season is not next season. Next season is in like 10 weeks type thing. Like, dude, like, I don't know. They're, if you can't count training camps and preseasons and everything, like, basically, like I said, like, the NBA is starting Christmas Day. They haven't made it official yet, but that's pretty much the deal. Like, they're going Christmas Day. And it looks like their draft is going to be Martin Luther King Day. So, you know, it's fun. It's crazy because the NBA's unofficial start has always been Christmas Day. But if you think about it, We're already into where it's nearly September 25th now. It's nearly September 25th now. It's like literally 12 weeks from now, 13 weeks. So you throw in training camp and a couple of preseason games and stuff. And in other words, we're right back at it in 2 months, guys, in 8 weeks. Like I was thinking about this. It's like whoever wins the championship, it's like, yeah, it's cool. You're the champion, you know, yeah, you won the bubble championship, but whatever, man, there's going to be a new champion awarded in about 5 months again. Like, think about that. Like, the NBA Finals, if the NBA Finals go seven games, they go to October the 12th. And then so and then let's say in the usual world, the NBA finals then would be in June again. All right, June 12th again. So think about from the span of October 12th to June 12th, there's going to be two champions awarded. There's like two of everything, guys. There's going to be two green jackets. Like there's a Masters in November, and then there's another Masters in April again. Like right around the corner. Think about it from an NBA. It's like, it feels like, you're kind of the champ. It's just like the MLS. It's like, I didn't even know the MLS. They're psychos. They did the MLS's back tournament, and then they started playing the regular season a week late. More trades late night. Whether or not, you're on your own. Later.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.